Let's pray together. Well, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. So last week we heard that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. Really? Physically? In history? And this is foundational for our faith. To be a Christian, to know the gospel, is to know that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. And this changes everything. And we heard last week in the first half of 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ has been raised from the dead and he is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That means he has been raised from the dead and there is more to come. He is but the first fruits. There is a whole harvest to come of those who have fallen asleep and then who will be raised. And that is us. This is part of the good news of our faith, is that we will too be raised to new life, just like Christ was. And when we die, when you and I end our lives here on earth, we will be with the Lord in heaven. That Paul says elsewhere, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. That we will be with the Lord in heaven when we die. But this life after death is not the end. There is a life after death that we look forward to. That we will be raised again physically just like Jesus was. And we will live with him in the new creation. There was an author who I read, and I forget who it was, but said, heaven is great, it's just not the end of the world. The end, the goal of it all, is the new creation. The new heavens and the new earth. And we will be with the Lord in heaven, and that is yet not the end. The end will come when we are raised to new life with Christ. We're talking today about the resurrection of our bodies. As we continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the second half of it, and I do want to invite you to open up your Bibles to follow along. In this, we hear that salvation is not just a spiritual thing. It's not just about our souls being redeemed and carried up to the Lord. Salvation is physical too. Salvation is for all of us, body, mind, spirit. And our Christian hope is not just, not merely a spiritual hope. And our hope is not less physical than here and now. If anything, our hope for eternity is more physical than what we experience here and now. And it's important for us to say this clearly because a lot of us, a lot of our culture and a lot of Christians still carry this idea, this non-biblical idea of eternal life in heaven being non-bodily, non-corporeal, as though we're just going to be floating spirits bouncing around on heavenly clouds for all eternity. Where do we get this idea from? It's not in the Bible. This comes actually out of Greek philosophy and Plato and the Platonists who taught that the body is actually evil. Physical things, they denied the goodness of the body and material things and thought that the spiritual aspects of our life were what were pure and good. And they were trying to escape the evil physical entrapments of our bodies. So when we died, our souls would finally escape from the evil bodies, and they would exist in eternity as pure and spiritual. So kind of this association with spiritual as good and physical as bad is not a Christian idea. And we know that Jesus' incarnation as a human, he took on flesh. God himself took on flesh. And then in that flesh, he died, bearing our sins. And in that flesh, he rose again from the grave, showing us that God values the physical. He values our bodies, that we are part of his good creation. Good creation has been marred by sin, and yet which God is working to redeem in Christ. God is redeeming all of creation, not just the spiritual aspects of who we are. And one day, He will make all things new. That includes us. It includes our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. He will raise us up just as He said He would. Not just in a spiritual way, not just as a symbol, but really raised bodily in glorified flesh, fully sanctified, fully redeemed, fully glorified with Christ. And so the question at hand for the Corinthians that they are asking Paul is, what is this going to look like? That's how he introduces our section. He says, someone's asking, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You know, the question is, when this resurrection happens, what are we going to look like? Are we going to be zombies? Am I going to have the body I have right now? Lord, I hope not. Am I going to have my body when I was 27 or 7? Like, where's the line? What's the perfect glorified body look like? And if I told you all that you would get to keep your body for all of eternity, many of you would not think that was good news. Amen. But we are told that when we are raised at the last day with Christ, our bodies will be glorified as His body is. Verse 42, Paul says, what is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. Drawing on that image of a seed planted in the ground that dies in order to bear fruit. Our bodies will be sown in dishonor and raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. Sown a natural body, raised a spiritual body. A lot of times we think that spiritual and bodies are opposites. But in Christ, they are brought together. We will have a spiritual, glorified body. Whatever it looks like, we don't know. 1 John 3 says that we shall become like He is. As Jesus was when He was raised from the dead, His body was glorified, and we shall become like that. So, to illustrate and to give a little picture of what this change might look like, I want to imagine that this balloon here is our earthly, mortal bodies. It's got many great qualities. It's got a great color. It's nice and firm. You can play keepy-uppy with it. It's got a nice fish sticker I took for my kids. Our bodies are blessings. They experience the blessings of God's good creation all the time through our senses and through what He has given to us. But this mortal body has weaknesses too. It's vulnerable. There are aches and pains. Has to get up too many times in the middle of the night to use the bathroom. There's cancer. There's disease, accidents, and injuries. And one day, this body will die and be buried in the ground. But then, when the trumpet sounds, the dead are raised, the voice of Christ who returns in glory calls us, and we will rise, and our souls reunited with bodies that are now glorified. And things will look quite a bit different. Compared to what we lost, what we will gain will be so much cooler, so much better. Maybe we'll be able to fly. I don't really know. But we read, Paul says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. And we got to keep that a little low to the ground. I got it stuck up in the center of the roof yesterday. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and the mortal body must put on immortality. The new bodies we have will be imperishable. They will not suffer decay or loss or pain or aches. Maybe we'll even be able to fly. I don't know. Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, got hungry. Jesus could also apparently pass through locked doors. So maybe teleportation will be a part of our new glorified bodies. I don't know. We can only really imagine just how much better these new, resurrected, glorified bodies will be than our current bodies. Only one person in all of human history has experienced this so far. So what it will look like exactly, we don't quite know, but we trust in him. And I think we can say this, that when we are raised, we will be as much like God as it's possible for a creature to be. We will be as much like God as it's possible for a creature to be. That our resurrected bodies will be glorious. As fruit comes out of a seed or a mighty oak comes out of a tiny acorn, so our glorified bodies will be like and unlike our current bodies. But whatever it looks like, we know that we will be like Jesus and we will be with Jesus. And when we are with Jesus in that state, in that new creation, there will be no more sin. There will be not even the potential for sin or death or suffering. There will be no more depression. There will be no more heartbreak or injustice or trauma. All of it will be wiped away. Some of you may be familiar with Joni Erickson Tada, who is an author and speaker, has a Christian ministry, and she is a quadriplegic. She's paralyzed from the waist down, can't move her arms or legs without assistance. And reflecting on her own disabilities and her own limitations, and looking forward to that great day of new creation, she wrote this: "I can't wait for that day, because when I get my glorified body, the first thing I'm going to do with my resurrected legs is to fall down on grateful, glorified knees." That with these new and glorified bodies, we will, with all of creation, worship. And in our glorified state, we will continue to give glory to our God and Savior. And when this happens, when the perishable puts on the imperishable, the mortal puts on immortality, then we will sing with all of creation that death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Standing in the victory of our Savior, we will taunt our last enemy that is now destroyed in Christ. This is the hope that we have in resurrection, in the life after death. And we're reminded that our future resurrection is rooted in that past resurrection of Christ in history. And that same Christ is reaching into the present to bring us a foretaste of that resurrection right now. In the here and now, God has placed eternity into our hearts. And has given us a foretaste of glory as we come into his presence to worship, just as we will for all of eternity. What a wonderful future hope we have in Christ. To know that our ultimate salvation isn't even yet that state in heaven, but our glorification, our resurrection bodies, and the new creation of us and of all things. And that glorified life in the future can give us a glorified hope even today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this great hope that we have. Thank you for the promise of resurrection life that we live in you. Thank you for the life that you've given us even here and now to live as a new creation here and now as a foretaste of what is to come. And so, Lord, I pray that that hope that we have would be impressed deeply upon our hearts, burned into our souls, that might impact how we live here in the present and might change us to live lives more hopeful, more joyful, more honoring of these bodies that you have given to us and all that you have called us to with them. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.